and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the second Sunday in Lent, for our service of Holy Communion. We welcome visitors in particular who are joining us for our service, or indeed are welcome. Throughout this season of Lent, as is our custom, the Gloria is omitted in the Holy Communion service, and we use the commandments in full. So please put a marker in at page 222 of your prayer books. Our service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with
you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Turning to page 222 for the commandments, and the congregational response is in the words of the New Testament. Hear these commandments, which God has given to his people, and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me.
You shall have the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and mind and truth.
You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy.
Christ is risen from the dead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. Honor your father and your mother.
Live in the service of God. Honor all people. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ.
You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery.
Know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
You shall not steal.
Be honest in all that you do, and care for those in need.
You shall not be a false witness.
Let everyone speak the truth.
You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor.
Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbor.
Lord, have mercy on us and write all these your laws in our hearts. We turn back to page 202. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for today, the second Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. and the collect for this season of Lent. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Paul reminds his readers of God's covenant promise to Abraham and Sarah. It was their faithfulness that was blessed by God. So too we receive blessing by our faith in Christ raised from the dead. The epistle is from Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, you that fear him. O seed of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, O seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the suffering of the poor, neither has he hidden his face. But when they cried to him, he heard them. From you comes my praise in that great congregation. I will perform my vows in the presence of those that hear you. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise him. Their hearts shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall bow before him. For the kingdom Lord, and he rules over the nations. How can those who see the earth but die?
as Jesus began to reveal his destiny, Peter could not bear it. But Jesus teaches that just as his way was one of suffering for others, so for us all, selfishness must be renounced as we take up our own crosses. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 31.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. The words of Jesus, as recorded in the gospel we heard read this morning, "If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me," begs the question, what is the cost of commitment to God? During my student days in Dublin many years ago now, I lived next door to two members of Trinity College Rowing Club. They were very pleasant neighbours, who lived like other students, studying conscientiously, but also enjoying social life. However, in early spring, about this time of the year, they implemented a very strict routine. It consisted of hours of training, bodybuilding, and a very disciplined life, which included, as far as I know anyway, no alcohol, no smoking, and no late nights. My flatmate and I enjoyed some very peaceful months as our neighbours prepared for the rowing season and the annual regattas throughout Ireland and further afield. Without doubt, they practised austerity and self-denial, and it proved very effective. That was the discipline required of them, and they were prepared to accept it. Now, none of that impacted much on my flatmate and me until exams and the rowing season concluded, after which they let their hair down and, to use an expression, all hell broke out, and I began to appreciate the benefit of earmuffs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, what pertained to my neighbours 50 years ago applies to many sportsmen and women today. Gone are the days when the top players could turn up for a match after days of heavy eating and perhaps drinking, maybe stubbing out a cigarette as they ran onto the pitch. I saw that myself on one occasion at an international match. If you watched any of the Winter Olympics from South Korea, you'll realize that most of those superb athletes are prepared to make personal sacrifices in order to achieve success. Now, much of that may not be very altruistic. Perhaps it's driven by self-interest and ambition, but in addition to that, there may be a noble commitment to a cause. The demands are high, as were the demands Jesus made of those who listened to him and contemplated following him in Palestine 2,000 years ago. If any wish to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That challenge wasn't a popular one, borne out by the fact that on more than one occasion, his likely followers disappeared like snow off a ditch. The expectation was tough, and it brings us close to the very heart and the very centre of the Christian faith. The startling honesty of Christ was not dissimilar, for example, to that of Winston Churchill's remark in the early days of 1940, when Nazism threatened to overwhelm all of Europe, including Britain, that he could offer the people nothing but blood, sweat, and tears. Nothing would be achieved without hard slog, personal sacrifice, and maybe suffering. Jesus wasn't offering his followers an attractive proposition, but like all good motivators, he was prepared to lead from the front. Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus was not the kind of leader who observed things from a remote distance and played with the lives of people like expendable pawns. Reflecting on yesterday's rugby matches, when I was a typical couch potato at home for hours on end, I realised that there are no cheap seats at such events. The cost in euros and pounds at least can be high. And Jesus was implying, in a sense, that in opting to follow him, there may be no cheap seats. The cost could be very high. That's not a popular message, especially if our thinking on hearing his words is to ask, well, what's in it for me? How can I benefit materially or socially? On reading the Gospels and the early history of the Christian Church, I'm inspired by the courage and the determination of many of the early followers of Christ who were prepared to endure ridicule, persecution, and death because of their commitment to their mentor and the way of the cross. Thank God for them, because otherwise the gospel we have to proclaim could have been obscured and maybe even lost by indifference and neglect. Unfortunately, the early self-sacrifice of those inspirational followers of Jesus was replaced in subsequent centuries all too often by greed and avarice as the church became fixated with power. It seems to be human nature to sacrifice principle for expediency and popularity. This morning's gospel and the call of Jesus to a way of self-sacrifice is deliberately included in the liturgy in this season of Lent. It's a noble ideal to deny ourselves certain luxuries in Lent in order to help others. But self-denial as God intended it means obliterating self as the dominant principle of life in favour of the way of the cross. Jesus taught us that in his prayer in the words, Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. That is the cost, and a very challenging one, of commitment to God. It is a willingness in the words of a prayer which troubles my conscience at times, that I may be, to quote, willing to give and not to count the cost. Perhaps you and I think that our adherence to Christ makes very little difference. But let me tell you a story to refute such a suggestion. It's a story which takes us back many years to the 5th century. A well-known story which I told on occasions at assemblies in post-primary schools in Newton Ards, very often during the season of Lent. The figure at the centre of the story is Telemachus, a Christian monk who arrived in Rome about the year 400 AD. By then, Rome had accepted the Christian faith, but Telemachus was horrified to discover that while people were no longer fed to the lions in the Colosseum, gladiators still fought one another to death, shouted on by over 50,000 spectators. This was contrary to all that Telemachus had been taught about the sacredness of human life. Compelled to do something, and without a thought for his own safety, he entered the arena carrying a cross and implored the men in the name of Christ to stop. According to the story, the crowd laughed and called for Telemachus's death. One of the gladiators duly obliged, but the effect of that act was dramatic. The crowd was silenced by the sight of an old defenseless monk being killed in such a manner. They realized that he was a Christian man, and they, following the example of the emperor, professed to be Christians also. We gather that within a short time, the so-called sport of gladiators ceased in Rome. The witness of one follower of Christ and his personal sacrifice did make a difference. Self-denial and personal sacrifice are no wishy-washy, sentimental, unattainable ideals, but a genuine willingness to follow the will of Christ, and by doing so, to find what one prayer describes as perfect freedom. God gave us life to spend and not to keep. If we live selfishly, always thinking first and foremost of our own profit and comfort, if we make no effort to think of anybody outside our own immediate family or church circle, then I suggest we are losing life all the time. On the other hand, if we spend life for others as well as ourselves, then I suggest we are winning life all the time. Our involvement in this sacrament of Holy Communion should be a recognition of our obligations to God and to one another. At the centre of worship is the cross. At the end of this service, we'll sing that lovely hymn, "Lift High the Cross, the Love of Christ Proclaim." One of the functions of the cross as we see it is to lift our thoughts above secular pursuits, to acknowledge that loyalty to God should be, and indeed for Christians, must be of paramount importance. From that should stem the desire to enrich the world by contributing some of our time, our talents, and our resources in the service of others. There may be moments when the cost of Christian commitment may be considerable. But let's remember, as a people of living faith, that the Christ you and I worship can give us grace to grow in holiness, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
This morning we use the first form of intercessions. Almighty and ever-living God, hear the prayers which we offer in faith and love. For peace and for your salvation to be known throughout the world. For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and for the unity of all Christian people. Lord of the Church, we thank you for the freedom we have to join here together in worship. We pray for our fellow Christians throughout the world, and we remember before you those in many countries who face persecution for their Christian faith. Lord of the Church, help us to remember that our Sunday worship continues into the remainder of the week. Help us to praise you in all we say and do, and to serve you in our day-to-day lives. Lord, in your mercy. For all who serve and lead in your church, for bishops, priests, and deacons, may these your servants be men and women of peace, prayer, strength, and gentleness. Make them transparent with your love and always open to your grace, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. Bless all who are involved in the life and work of our parish, for all who give so generously of their time and talents to help in our various organizations and committees. We pray particularly today for all those who are involved in the preparations for our Lenten lunch next Sunday, and for the annual Easter vestry, which will take place a few days later. In our diocesan cycle of prayer today, we pray for the parish of Saintfield, for their rector, Chris Pollock, and for all who live and work therein. In our Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church in Central America. Lord, in your mercy. for all your people, growing in the faith of Christ and passing it on to generations yet to come. On this second Sunday of Lent, we thank you, Lord, for those days in the wilderness when, through prayer and fasting, Jesus discovered your will for his life and overcame temptation. Help us, Lord, during this period of Lent, as we follow Jesus into the unknown, may we recognize the tempter when he comes. Let it be your bread we eat, your world we serve, and you alone we worship. Lord, in your mercy. For all who live and work in this community, Lord, increase the sense of community that binds us to one another. Help us to create a place where people feel welcomed and valued. Help us to use your gifts to work well with others and to make the places where we work and live easier and more pleasant for everyone around us. Help us to be good neighbours and to love one another as we love ourselves. God, our Heavenly Father, make the door of our church wide enough to welcome all who need human love, fellowship, and a father's care, but narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and hatred. Here may the tempted find help, the sorrowing receive comfort, and the penitent be assured of your mercy. And here may all your children renew their strength and go on their way in hope and joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, in your mercy. For families and for those who live alone. Dear Lord, we thank you for the support that our families give to us. We trust to your loving care all members of our families, both near and far. May you keep them safe in body and soul, and may your peace rest upon our homes and our loved ones everywhere. And we commit to your special care, Lord, families where there is conflict and pain, families where there is only one parent, families where children are separated from a parent or from grandparents, for those who face illness, death, or disablement, for the elderly and for those who live alone, whether through separation or bereavement. Bless them all as each one needs. Lord, in your mercy. For all who are sick in body or in mind, and for those who care for them. Lord Jesus, when you walked among hurt and lonely people, you looked at them with understanding and approached them with arms outstretched, showing that they were truly loved. Come now, we pray, and touch all who are in pain and distress. Heal those who have stopped believing in themselves. Comfort those who are at the end of their tether. And pour into their hearts the gentle balm of your Spirit. And we think now of all those we know who are sick or suffering. And in a moment's silence, we bring them before you now, Lord, for your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. For all in authority, and especially for Elizabeth, our Queen, and for all who have been entrusted with the responsibility of government. O God, bless our land, guide our leaders, and help us to resolve our differences. At this time of political stalemate and crisis, we pray that our politicians may learn the art of compromise and try to find some middle ground. Grant them wisdom and integrity, that they may break down the barriers of contention, and that they may work together to achieve a more secure future for the people of our country, based on equality, fairness, and justice. Lord, in your mercy. For those who work for peace, justice, and righteousness throughout the world, We pray for all parts of the world where there is war, conflict, and unrest. We pray for all who have suffered or lost loved ones as a result of violence and fighting. We pray that people may cease from hatred and strife, and that those who work to improve international relationships may discern the ways of peace and seek to find the true way of reconciliation. Make us channels of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make us channels of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let us bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, only joy. Lord, in your mercy. Rejoicing in the fellowship of your holy apostles and martyrs, and of all your servants departed this life in your faith and fear, we commend ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. present, be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of bread.
Amen.
Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
Turning to page 212, we use the second Eucharistic prayer. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. In your great love, you gave him to be made man for us, and to share our common life. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. And he gives us strength to control our desires and to walk in his way of love. In obedience to your will, your Son, our Saviour, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice and died on the cross for our redemption. Through him, you have freed us from the slavery of sin and reconciled us to yourself, our God and Father. He is our great High Priest, whom you raised from death and exalted to your right hand on high, where he ever lives to intercede for us. Through him, you've sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a royal priesthood called to serve you forever. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Saviour Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood, who in the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Saviour has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We be many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for these holy mysteries given us by our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we receive your grace and are assured of your love, which is through him now and forever. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
It's lovely to have all the children back in church following their Sunday school classes in time to receive the blessing at the communion rails along with their parents. And all of you young people are most important. And lovely you could be with us this morning for that part of our service. And I hope your classes all went well down in the hall. Next Sunday is our parish Lent lunch. And the all-age worship service will be at 11 a.m. And please note the slightly later start time just for next Sunday. The catering committee are working really hard with all the preparations. And if you haven't already got a ticket, please do take a ticket this morning simply for catering purposes only. Next Sunday, it will be voluntary donations for our church hall refurbishment fund. And I do commend this to you for your support and also for your enjoyment. Next Sunday morning at the All Age Worship Service, Mr. Francois McCullough, who is one of the RE teachers at Campbell College, who also is very much involved with Jengana, is going to be giving the address. Many of you will know that Charles, my son, went to Kenya with Jengana summer 12 months ago, and Henry, along with one of Billy Geary's grandsons, are going this coming summer to work in the slums. And Mr. McCullough grew up in the slums and through his education now wants to give young people in Northern Ireland an opportunity of just seeing how difficult life is for people in different parts of the world. And by supporting Jengana, all the money raised goes out to help the people in Kenya. Nothing is siphoned off for admin or staff costs or any of that. And us here in St. Columba's, we do support Jengana very generously. And so I've asked Mr. McCullough to come next Sunday to tell us more about the work to which he is so involved in. And you will have an opportunity to meet him next Sunday. On Saturday week, on the 10th of March, there will be a coffee morning in the rectory from 10 until 12 to support Jengana in a very direct way. Because all those young people who are going to Kenya with Jengana, they have to raise money, each of them, for the projects they are working on. And so we do want to welcome you most warmly to the rectory on the 10th of March for the coffee morning to support the work to which Henry will be involved in and the privilege he has to support people in such great need. You will see in the Pew News details of all of the activities during this coming week. I want to commend the Women's World Day prayer service on Friday at 8 in Bloomfield Presbyterian Church, and also to highlight the annual Easter General Vestry meeting takes place on Wednesday week, the 7th of March at 7:30 in the Church Hall. All are welcome, but only those who are registered can vote at the elections. We now sing the hymn that Canon Smith referred to, Lift High the Cross.
Thank you.
to love and serve the Lord.